Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Now back to Vontae, Steiny, and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
Steve Mariucci is brought to you by Gelati Construction, celebrating over 100 years of teamwork, solutions, and excellence as we head out to the Dial Pad guest line. Steve, obviously, this may be the game of the season so far in the NFL, and I'm always interested, as a former coach, do you just watch a game like tonight and take it all in and observe, or do you go into a game like tonight looking for specific things to focus on?
Yeah, that's a good question. Good to be on with you guys. Big game, biggest game of the season to date, especially, you know, after you watched the games yesterday, they have some impact on the 49ers and their seeding for the playoffs. You saw the Saints get beat. That's a team they're competing against for a bye. You saw the Rams lose. And, of course, you know, a lot of people thought they would win this division. And so, you know, heck, the Chiefs lost too, but on any given Sunday, anything can happen. But, boy, that makes this game even bigger because Seattle Seahawks come knocking at the door. Russell Wilson is, 11-3 against the 49ers, and certainly an MVP candidate playing very, very well. Big game. I know the Niners are happy to have it at home in Levi's because they're going to have to go back last game of the season up to Seattle and play this. This is quite a rival game. It's going to be two heavyweights pounding it out tonight. I can't wait to watch it.
Steve, I'm right with you. Right, we're here at the Hilton in Santa Clara, and we are fired up. The fans are out, ready to go. The Niners are going to be without Quan Alexander. I could argue the quarterback on defense. And Kittle, the great tight end. Can I ask you which one concerns you the most going into this game?
Yeah, probably Kittle because he's been so good for so long now, and arguably the best tight end in the league. And, you know, 25% of the offensive receptions go through him, and they're going to really have to figure out. Now, luckily, they signed Emmanuel Sanders. There's another receiver that's been productive over the last couple of weeks. And the other thing is they run the football. They don't count solely on the passing game. They're a good run team and very balanced. And so that's tough. Yeah, Quan Alexander, you know, he's making the calls on defense, and you know, they're going to have to do without him, but they're pretty salty on defense. I think Jimmy Garoppolo's losing his favorite target tonight, and that'll hurt.
Mucci, we're looking at this matchup here, and Russell Wilson's putting on a show this season.
Yeah,
22
yeah.
Touchdown passes, one interception. Chris Carson's running the rock hard. I worry about this Niners defense giving up 4.7 yards a carry. And, oh, by the way, Tyler Lockett and DK Metcalf are forming as one of the best duos in football at the wide receiver position. What's the one thing the Niners need to take away? Because you're not going to take away everything with Russell Wilson. But what's the one thing they absolutely have to do tonight against the Seattle offense?
Yeah, they've got to keep away from the big play. Tyler Lockett, the little bugger, is explosive as heck, and he's very capable. And I've been pleasantly surprised by watching their passing game. I thought it would suffer after losing Doug Baldwin because he was their number one receiver last year or lately. And Lockett has stepped up, and DK Metcalf, the rookie, is really coming into his own now. He's getting more touches and more targets. They also have to stop Chris Carson because they like to run the football. A lot of what they do comes off pounding Chris Carson up in there with the zone read stuff that Russell Wilson is so good at, the RPOs that he's very capable at. And, you know, so, and this is a better team. They went out and signed Jadeveon Clowney, who's a heck of a football player. Bobby Wagner, certainly one of the best linebackers in the league. So this is an evenly matched kind of game. The Seahawks lately have been dominating this series. Like I said, Russell Wilson 11-3, but now that the Niners are healthy, more well-equipped to compete with this, on a roll, confident, the fans are going to be crazy. Aren't you guys tailgating right now? What are you guys doing?
Yeah, we're at the Hilton Santa Clara.
Getting cranked up.
Oh, we are ready.
Come on, man. Got a mimosa going on right now.
Fun with those people.
Oh, man, we were here for the Cleveland game, the Monday night game, Steve, and it was a zoo. Today I saw a guy drinking a Bud Light at 8:48 in the morning, so that was a little bit earlier.
A bad guy, that makes you a
fired
up fan.
There you go. Oh, tell him. Trust me, I was praising the gentleman, no doubt about it. No, it's starting to heat up down here. People are walking around. There's some 12s here too. So, yeah, I mean, this is a great atmosphere. It's good to see it back here in Santa Clara for sure. Let me ask you about Josh Gordon and how much of the offense do you think he knows?
Geez, it's hard to say. I don't know what kind of practice time he's been getting. And he's certainly sitting in the meetings, but, we'll see. Coming from a different kind of an offense, this is not as easy a transition as, say, Emmanuel Sanders coming from a similar type verbiage and offense in Denver to the San Francisco 49ers. Josh Gordon, now this is a different kind of a deal here with Brian Schottenheimer's offense. So we shall see. When he's right, he's really a good player. I mean, a few years ago, he was considered one of the very, very best receivers in the league. So if he's doing well mentally and physically and ready to go, he's a guy that you got to watch.
If you're the 49ers, how do you kind of approach just his presence but not knowing? Do you have to prepare for the guy, pretend he's the guy from 3 or 4 years ago, or you just treat him as a third?
I guess you anticipate him being at his best, and I don't know how many snaps he'll get, because like we talked about earlier, Tyler Lockett and DK Metcalf are really getting most of the targets. But we'll see if they work him in gradually, and I suppose that's how it'll be. But they've seen him on film before, and he's a big, strong, fast guy and very capable guy.
Hey, Mooch. We all know Richard Sherman left Seattle. You know, there was some bad blood there between him and Carroll, and maybe him and Russell Wilson. I don't know, but to me, he just seems like the type of guy that wanted to retire there. If you were coaching Richard on this stage, would you talk to him about, not keeping the emotions in check? I'm sure this game means something to Richard more so than the others, and I may be off basis with that. Would you have a conversation with the history he has with the Seahawks?
I would have a conversation with him if I felt there was one needed. I don't think there is. I think he's, at least outwardly gone past that, moved on, played against them before. It's kind of interesting because Robert Saleh, the defensive coordinator of the Niners, they were together in Seattle when Robert Saleh was just a young, defensive quality control coach and getting started. So they have history going back there as well. But we see this so often in the league now where guys play for multiple teams, and the coaches coach for multiple teams too, right? And so you just kind of handle that the best way you can. I'm sure he's fired up. I'm sure he has friends on that team and on the coaching staff and in the locker room. So I suppose there's mixed emotions, but a guy like Richard Sherman is a bright guy, and he'll handle this properly. He will.
You know, Mucci, we're all big NFL fans. We've been NFL fans for a long, long time. And I know you've coached a dozen, hundreds of players, Mooch. Unfortunately, today we lost one in the fraternity, Charles Rogers, a guy you coached coming out of Michigan State who had a ton of promise. And it seemed like he was getting his life back on track, man, with his kids and his family and everything. If you could just share some of your memories with Charles Rogers from Michigan State, not Johnson, Charles Rogers, the wide receiver who had a ton of potential who passed away.
Bonte, thanks for bringing that up. I got the news this morning when I woke up, and he was only 38 years old. And I mean, to recall, Carson Palmer was the number one pick in that draft. Okay. And he actually signed and everything to Cincinnati before the draft day even occurred, like weeks before. It was strange. So we were on the clock for a long time, and we chose Charles Rogers. He was a local kid from Saginaw. He was a Michigan State standout, the whole thing. And started, this was in 2003, he started for us first, I want to say, four games, and he had some touchdown catches, and he had some, you know, he looked the part, okay? Well, we go to our bye week, and we're practicing indoors, and he and Dre Bly got tangled up on a go route down the field, and they hit the turf. This is practicing in shorts, and he shattered his collarbone. And, gosh, it was like, whoa, you saw the x-rays. You went, oh, my Jesus, that thing was really shattered. So, obviously, he missed the whole season. And we had high hopes for him, needed him desperately. So he comes back, and in the opener, the next year, in the opener, against the Chicago Bears' first series, he goes down to try to make a catch on a ball, and his elbow jammed into the grass. And he shattered his shoulder again. It was awful. And so I'm coaching the game, and then at halftime I go in there, and he's in another room with the trainers, laying there on the table with his mom, okay, crying. And he was saying, "Coach, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry to get hurt on you twice like this. I'm letting you down." And it was just sad. And so he there was a guy that was talented, but injuries got in the way, and his career never really took off like everybody anticipated. And so it was just really shocking to hear that he passed away, gosh, at age 38. Are you kidding me? So I call the Lions, and I'm trying to get a hold of his mom, but it's a very sad day.
Yeah, thanks for speaking to that, Steve. 38, that's
too young.
Especially when you're older than 38, that's when it gets a little scary. But thank you so much for joining us, as always, and we look forward to catching up to you next week, Steve.
Okay, guys. Have a good one tonight.
All right. Should be a lot of fun. Steve Mariucci, former San Francisco 49ers head coach. 888-957-9570. Let's start getting back into this game tonight. San Francisco 49ers 8-0. They play the Seattle Seahawks 7-2. It's nothing less than the biggest game of the year so far. And give us your keys to the game. Even though he said it was a good question, he didn't answer the question, Steve Mariucci.
Yeah, I saw that.
I said, do you go in looking for something specific, or do you just try to observe the game and then make a judgment when it's all over? How do you guys watch the game? Do you look for anything in particular at the beginning of games? Or, I mean, I know I don't. I just settle in and kind of let things become apparent to me rather than I'm going to see if this guy gets involved or how they're doing this or that.
I go by reputation. And right now the Niners got the reputation, and rightfully so, Bonte, as being the best defense in the NFL. So when I saw Arizona have success and sustained drives, I'm sitting there, Steiny, even in the first half. They took the first drive down there and scored. I wasn't used to that. But then we saw adjustments at halftime, and we normally see. So tonight, with no Quan Alexander, I want to see if this run defense from the Niners is still stout after Quan Alexander. So that's what I'm going to look for first. Also, I'm going to watch everything, but that's what I'm looking for to see. Are they compromised to a point to forget this Seattle game and how it ends up? What are the Saints going to do with this? Moving forward, Steiny, will this be consistent? And can they overcome, like Martin Luther King, which they have, all the other injuries up until this point with the tackles going out? I didn't even notice Staley was going out. Right. Staley, if you're listening, I love you. I didn't notice he was gone. That's how great the fill-ins did.
I'm sure Staley and McGlinchey, they better be listening right now on the way to the stadium. We're getting them fired up just talking about this game. But you asked what we look for, Steiny. Early on, the first quarter is usually kind of a sparring matchup, right? Mm. Teams are trying to get a feel for the game. So I look for the line of scrimmage. Who's winning the line of scrimmage? Because a game can go a long way by who's dominating. Is the 49ers defensive line on the other side of the line of scrimmage disrupting their running game and their passing game? Is Clowney and Ziggy Ansah and these guys in the Niners backfield controlling the line of scrimmage? So early on, I like to see who's controlling the line of scrimmage, because whoever controls the line of scrimmage, you're going to have holes in a running game. You're going to have more time to pass the ball. You're going to be able to do a lot more creative things offensively if you control that line of scrimmage. So that's what I look for early on in a football game.
888-957-9570 is the number. What's the biggest key to tonight's ball game? if you're a San Francisco 49er fan? What is it you want to see? You want to see them establish the run right off the bat? You want to see them make the Seahawks go three and out their first possession or two? What do you want to see? And what, if you see it, will you say, I like the way this game's going to go for the San Francisco 49ers? Certainly, Bonte hits on a major one, and that is how the 49ers' defensive line plays. Can they be dominant as they've been most of the season? So it's just going to be a lot of fun, and it's just so unique, really. 2 years ago, we talked about this, guys. 2 years ago at this point, the 49ers were 0-8, and now they are sitting as the only unbeaten team in the NFL and playing the marquee game of the season so far. My, things can change in a hurry.
Do you know how I process that stat? It's like my bank account. If I can do what the Niners did with the wins with my bank account to total in it, I will be very ecstatic. And you think you never give up. Nobody saw this happening. We were talking about guys getting fired, and now they're the only undefeated team left. And Russell Wilson, you know, that was astute what you said, Bonte. But guys like that are almost more comfortable when they're running around. Mm-hmm. So it's about the secondary. And Richard Sherman and the boys, can you guard your man? And for something's eating at me. I feel like Josh Gordon arriving for the Seahawks is almost to them like perfect timing, because they need as many playmakers as they can. And if we see Russell kind of under control scrambling, which we call it,
that scares me.
Controlled chaos,
right?
That might not bode well for the Niners. So I'm interested to see how he's going to do early on.
He gets out that pocket goo, and he lets that baby fly.
He's like Houdini.
He lets it fly, man. He'll throw it down the field. And he's got guys who can make plays in one-on-one coverage, which puts the onus on guys like Emmanuel Mosley, puts the onus on Kawan Williams to have to cover these guys for a long period of time. And in the safety position, this is a big game for Tukwaski Tartan and Jimmy Ward. They've got to play. They cannot let any of these receivers get behind them. They have to play the middle of the field. They have to be keen on Russell Wilson. Because one play that sticks out in my mind right away, Dante Whitner, NFC Championship game. Niners up 10-0.
Wow,
Russell Wilson scrambling around, and he throws it deep, and Whitner lets Doug Baldwin get behind him. It changes the game. Seattle gets three before halftime. Therefore, they get to use Marshawn Lynch more in the second half. He makes those game-changing plays. So as a safety, you can't let one of these receivers get behind you, or it could be trouble. I'll try to do it in my Bernie Mac voice. Trouble, because Russell Wilson does a lot outside the pocket. Man, that scares me, man.
It is a Monster Monday presented by Benjamin Moore Paints. Paint like no other. One player we haven't talked a lot about, and he's been money this year for the Seahawks, Chris Carson, their running back. Averaging about 20 carries per game. I mean, he's about as close as this NFL comes to a bell cow. We've been talking about maybe the Seahawks having their best receiving core in a long, long while. But the bottom line is it looks like Carson is their stabilizing factor on offense. And we have seen teams have some success running the football the last two games. And that's got to be at the forefront of the 49ers' minds, you would think.
Yeah, and Bonte, I go back to Tampa Bay. They went north and south, obviously, when Kwan went out.
Right.
But again, not to be redundant, I'm fixated on him not being there. But Carson is not an east-west guy. He's coming at you. And if they can have some success, would you deem Arizona, did they have success running
the Niners? Yes, absolutely. King on Drake, a lot of people say, oh, yeah, fresh legs, blah, blah, blah. Still ran 415 and looking explosive.
Right. Against Chris Carson, Niners.
Chris Carson averaging about 4.5 a carry, fellas, for 100-yard games. He's a physical runner, but he will put the ball on the turf. He's fumbled five times this year and lost four of them. So you could swipe at that football and get a possible fumble from Chris Carson. Early on in the season, Steiny, he fumbled the ball three times in the first three games. Last week against Tampa Bay, Chris Carson fumbled twice and lost one. So he will put the ball on the turf, but he runs north-south. The Niners giving up 4.7 yards a carry. That's a big key to this game because Seattle will love to be balanced. Chris Carson on first down, 9 yards. Play action pass on second. Shutting down Chris Carson, very important. I'm getting fired up, man. I'm fired up.
I'll tell you who else is going to be fired up. Our main man, Antonio in Oakland. What is up, Antonio? How you doing, man? You getting excited for the game like us? Antonio.
He was dropped. So excited.
He dropped.
Man, you know what?
He was so excited.
Should we put him on the suspended list?
No, Stein, you guys are too tough.
Nah, you get him.
It's a Monday night game, and he's going to leave us hanging like that?
What if the reception
right now, let me tell you who's out.
Can't do it.
Baldy's out. And so's Antonio.
I'm trying to.
They're both out.
Somebody else is out for it. Oh, Stephen Babb. Is he still is he still trying to correct his Steiny for accuracy?
Yeah, I don't. He didn't register. That name didn't register. Baldinger is a big boy, and Antonio is one of our faithful. But he stiffed us. And look, now he's going to probably call back. And the question is, do I even go to his call? I don't know.
Question is he coming tonight?
No,
he coming?
He's not coming.
So? Why not? Robert Sanbruno will be in the building. He's always here.
Well, he didn't come last one.
He got here late. He got here late. Okay. That's right. Yeah. And, I talked to him before the Carolina game.
And Wonderful Niner is supposed to be here, one of our big callers. Emmanuel Sanders tonight. I have a feeling he's going to play an important role, particularly because George Kittle is not going to play tonight. And to me, that means Emmanuel Sanders, by far, is a 49ers' best receiver. And in a game like this, I think you got to lean on him heavily, even though he's only been here for 2+ weeks.
I'm going to shock you guys because I really am a firm believer in sports and without sports. Good things happen to good people. Emmanuel Sanders was at the top of his craft in regard to being a good receiver. And John Elway quit supplying him with a capable quarterback. But, Steiny, never once did you hear this guy cry, point the finger at who wasn't getting him the ball. So he's been mute. He gets traded. And now Garoppolo, an up-and-coming quarterback that has question marks, not about he can't or he didn't do it, can he do it? And now Emmanuel Sanders, a gift from the football gods, gets put on this team, and now he's their version, quote-unquote, I'm going there, Jerry Rice, Terrell Owens. He is the number one of the San Francisco 49ers, and you couldn't ask for a better scenario for a guy that didn't complain or point the finger when things weren't going his way.
I'm not worried about Emmanuel Sanders. He's a total pro goo. He's going to make his plays, but there's going to be a lot of attention on him. You don't think Pete Carroll and company saying, hey, fellas, number 85, George Kittle's out. Let's roll a safety over to Emmanuel Sanders. That's why I'm looking at the young pups. Deebo, it's time.
And Pettis, don't forget my boy.
Pettis, it is time. It's time to grow up under the bright lights. It is your time. And you know what? In that sense, I don't worry about Deebo too much because he played in big games in the SEC.
He did drop one Thursday.
He did drop
night.
One, and now, he came back in the second half and made some big plays. But Emmanuel Sanders will be good. Who's going to be the other guy to step up in a passing game? It's got to be Deebo or Pettis. Or, hell, it may be Marquise Goodwin. I forgot he was on the roster.
Yeah, he was dealing
for a
with the personal.
Yeah, absolutely.
By all accounts, all systems should be able to. Where are you at on Pettis? Like, would you be shocked if he got a touchdown tonight?
Shocked?
Yeah.
I wouldn't be shocked, but I just no.
He's
I don't. I don't think he's. I think Bourne's going to have more of an impact than Pettis, if you're asking me that. But you know what? That's the thing about the Niners. They have a handful of guys who are essentially.
Yep.
The same.
Wow.
Even if their styles are different, you know, one game, somebody might have 4 or 5 catches, then the next have 0, but another guy have 4 or 5 catches. All right, here's what's happening on 95.7, the game brought to you by Ticket Crushers. We're getting you ready for the 49ers, Seahawks, and arguably the biggest game of the year in the NFL. Coming up next, we're highlighting the big players to watch. And that's all sponsored by Ticket Crushers. Got a ticket? Suspended license? DUI? Don't pay. Let the attorneys at Ticket Crushers go to court for you and crush that ticket for as little as $149. Ticket Crushers knows how to win. Call 866-TICKET-HELP. That's 866-TICKET-HELP for a free consultation.
Today, the nation will be watching.
The pass is going to be picked off by Bosa. Wow.
As the 49ers battle the Seahawks.
Russell Wilson hit as he throws for the end zone. Catch me! Touchdown!
We're bringing you the best coverage live from the Hilton Santa Clara all day. On the Bay Area's football station, 95.7. The game.
All right, we all know the Warriors have a new home, the Chase Center. It's a great venue, Bayview, spacious. right in the heart of downtown San Francisco. And if you're looking for a new home, there's only one place to go, Realtor.com. Realtor.com has the most accurate home listings. They're updated every 15 minutes, giving you the latest on the real estate scene. Realtor.com provides you with the ability to customize your home search, allowing you to put in your desires and needs for your next address. Realtor.com has an app, and it has a really cool feature called Commute Time Filter. That's where you can estimate your transit time to any destination. It's not about finding the perfect home. It's about finding the home that's perfect for you. Realtor.com, the home of home search.
Now back to Vontae, Steiny, and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
All right, 888-957-9570. 49ers Seahawks tonight. Hey, if you're a 49er fan and you checked out maybe after the Harbaugh era and you were thinking, you know what?
Wait, Steiny, they're a 49er fan, they didn't check out.
Give me that.
But you go ahead. I get what you're saying, but you don't check out when things get tough.
I like that.
We're in a different age. People check out when they're not engaged.
You guys aren't too far apart, really.
Participation trophy like era.
No, but the bottom line is let's put the rat on the table. After Jim Harbaugh left, this team and this franchise hit some real low points, and the points were low enough that a lot of people said, "You know what? Wake me when they're better."
That's not cool, though, Steiny.
Well, you don't turn those. I'm sure we had Al Guido on this morning. I'm sure he's going to allow those people to buy a ticket tonight. So welcome back. Did anybody say, you know what? Show me that you're committed and show me that you can win again before you kind of jump back on board. And the question I also have, too, about tonight is if the Niners win tonight and go 9-0,
man.
I mean, do they then become the favorites to win it all? And if they don't, when does it become disappointing? Like, at what point do you think you're such a good team that we have as good a chance as anybody to win it all?
Right now. And I think what you're saying, Bonte, the goalposts change.
Mm-hmm.
It's NFC championship or bust. And outside of New England, from a coaching and preparation standpoint, that is the only team at Steinman to Bonte Hill that I think would scare me if I'm Kyle Shanahan. That's how much I'm sipping that Kool-Aid. So disappointment, I mean, when you talk about it from that prism, you have done a 180 times two, which would be a 360. And this is metamorphosis. I've never seen it, Steiny. And
Guru math at its best,
I'm
going
to just give you this. Well, nobody's complaining about the fair weather fan. Oh, it's hot. It's hot. Well, it's not this game, all year. It's hot. It ain't hot now.
You ain't been hearing
the heat is on the field, Jack.
Super Bowl favorites, I don't know. It'd be the Niners in a conversation.
But give me another team in the NFC real quick.
NFC? Yeah. Well, people will say the Packers, they'll say the Vikings, or the Saints. And the good thing is the Niners play the Packers and the Saints coming up. So I'm good with that. But looking at the entire NFL, that team in Baltimore is scary. Scary.
Stoddy, are you seeing what's going on with him, Lamar Jackson?
Nice little player.
They
should put him at wide receiver.
Oh,
might be able to help him.
Wow. He don't mean that, though.
No, he doesn't mean it.
I guess my question is, back in the day, there was Russell Wilson, RG3, and Cap. Okay? What's the difference among those three and, let's say, Kyler Murray, Lamar Jackson, and Russell Wilson, who's still part of that group?
I'm going to tell you, commitment. Those guys all had their time, Bonte, but the coaching staff was not married to the ideal of getting figured out and growing the running quarterback. Roman is married to Lamar Jackson and growing what they got going.
You know, Roman,
and that's what's happening.
You know, Roman was the OC for Colin Kaepernick.
Hello?
And I don't think it was in the coaching change. kind of destroyed Kaepernick up until his last season, where the coach at Ohio State, Ryan Day, was his quarterback coach here in San Francisco, and Kaepernick had actually had a good season. Lamar's doing it all, but they're not telling Lamar to be somebody he's not. He's still being a Lamar Jackson from Louisville. He's making throws from the pocket. He's making throws outside of the pocket, and are continuing to use his best trait as a football player, which is running the football. So when you have that dynamic, it's tough to account for as a defense. But in terms of the bandwagon stuff, Stiney, I feel you. This stadium better be packed tonight. It better be packed tonight. I'm telling you, Levi's.
Oh, there's no way.
It's a school night, though.
Is it? Some people got it off, right? Veterans
Day? Yeah, the Seahawks.
Some people had off today.
Somebody it better be packed, man.
You see the little kids over there with the mom and the I just gave her kudos. Cool. That's how you start.
That is pretty cool. But no, Lamar Jackson's looking He's looking like Vic 2.0. RG3's been banged up. He's now backing up Lamar Jackson in Baltimore. So his game will have to evolve a little bit more, no doubt, Lamar Jackson, because I do think the league will adjust at some point.
Not to speak for you, Stiney. Are you asking about the resurgence of the running court? Is it a fad again, or do you think?
Well, I'm just saying.
I'm believing now these offensive coordinators are dedicated more so now than even with Kaepernick, Michael Vick, and they're expanding the playbook to where these guys don't get exposed to the degree they got exposed when we quote unquote thought they got figured out.
I mean, I don't know what more Jim Harbaugh could have done to give Colin Kaepernick the keys of the car. I guess what I'm saying is if you have Cap, okay, I don't really want to get into this, but, you know, Cap isn't in the league. Yep. RG3, I think, would you blame it on injuries or style?
I blame it on injuries.
Injuries derailed.
But he,
and there's something about Russell Wilson, his ability to throw with accuracy probably defines him in a better way than those other two. I guess what I'm saying is Kyler Murray and Lamar Jackson, are they headed more toward – Russell Wilson type of
success.
Or you know what? They're still going to run into challenges down the line.
I firmly believe the whole goal now is towards Russell Wilson country, and that's where they're going. And the more I think about it and I sit back, like, why should it stop? What's happening? What would happen for you to just rip the rug right out from underneath those quarterbacks that have those necessary assets, those skills that Russell Wilson has?
Yeah, Russell had to learn to throw from the pocket, and Lamar Jackson can throw from the pocket, but he has to get better. There's more improvement he can make on his game, because in the playoffs, in those big games, man, you got to make throws from the pocket. Teams are going to take away that running
option. Lamar Jackson had a horrible playoff game against the Chargers.
Yeah, but that was his first playoff game. He was a rookie. You know what I'm saying? How many rookies even make the playoffs? He flipped that team around once he was inserted into the starting lineup and replaced Joe Flacco and got them to that point and scared the hell out of everybody. He will be better. He's playing a lot better this year. We saw what he did to Belichick. I mean, young quarterbacks make Belichick's defense look foolish. The Patriots were gassed. They were disorganized. They didn't know what hit them. Next time around, they'll probably make an adjustment and be better prepared. But Lamar Jackson, the goal is to be more like Russell. Because even Randall Cunningham, think about Randall Cunningham. Yeah. Later on in
Jimmy
his career,
Johnson ruined him.
Later in his career in Minnesota, Randall Cunningham became a lethal pocket quarterback where he wasn't running as much. So, yes, running is a great dynamic, but even with Michael Vick, one of the greatest mobile quarterbacks ever, Steve Young, one of the greatest mobile quarterbacks ever, they had to learn to play from the pocket and complete passes in the pocket. And I think Lamar Jackson is on his way to doing that.
The question I have is, if you're a quote-unquote running quarterback, are you in more danger of getting hurt? And let me just throw some names at you. You know, I'm thinking, okay, Lamar Jackson, is he going to be injury prone? Kyler Murray, is he going to be injury prone? But what came to me is, well, let's look at the two quarterbacks in the Bay Area. They're not running quarterbacks. Garoppolo, he got hurt. He missed the whole year. Derek Carr, he got hurt, serious injury at the end of the year 3 years back or whatever it was, 3 or 4 years back. So is it a matter of running quarterbacks need to run the right way? Or do you think that eventually push is going to come to shove and one of those guys is going to get hurt because they're outside the pocket too much?
Yeah, Russell Wilson has mastered the ability of sliding and running out of bounds at the perfect time. Obviously, if you're going to be a running quarterback, you're going to put yourself at a little more risk of getting injured as opposed to a pocket quarterback. But learning how to slide and getting out of harm's way and not taking unnecessary punishment – will create longevity for you, a guy like Lamar Jackson and company. And he's doing a good job at that, is staying away from all the hits. Now, he's had a problem early on in his career, and Harbaugh's had to say, hey, get out of bounds. Slide. You're a quarterback. You're a starting quarterback. So getting out of bounds, and that's what Russell Wilson has done so well, where he knows how to avoid unnecessary punishment.
All right, I want to read something to you because it's pretty interesting. Emmanuel Sanders was obviously acquired via trade about 2.5 weeks ago by the 49ers from the Denver Broncos. He played, of course, with Peyton Manning on the Broncos Super Bowl team a few years back. And Peyton Manning was asked about Emmanuel Sanders in San Francisco. And here's what he said. I'm going to read it to you. This is Peyton Manning. The one thing that really jumps out on this film is the timing between Jimmy and Emmanuel, number 17, Emmanuel Sanders, the new 49ers receiver. Emmanuel just got there a week and a half ago, has to be told where the cafeteria is, which way is the practice field, where's our meeting room. There's no chance he knows his way around the Bay Area yet, so it takes some time to get on the same page with a quarterback and a wide receiver, and it's hard to force that. It's hard to make the timing speed up. But for the two of them to be on the same page this early, it says a lot about both players. That's Peyton Manning on Emmanuel Sanders. And you start talking about some of the names that we've thrown around for possible wide receivers that the 49ers could have acquired. It's starting to look more and more like this was the best acquisition that the 49ers could have made. Antonio Brown, did you really want to bring him in? Bring that in to the locker room. Dez Bryant supposedly is going to start talking to teams in a week or two. He's available. But it looks like Emmanuel Sanders is the perfect player to have brought in, no doubt about it.
And when you look at the totality of the offensive coordinator in the system, you look at the running backs and the success Kyle Shanahan has put Tevin Coleman and Breida. They're not Zeke Elliott. They're not Saquon Barkley. They're having success because of the system. Enter Emmanuel Sanders. He's not Randy Moss. He's not a tier one wide receiver. But I guess what I'm saying is the kudos goes to Kyle Shanahan and his system. Again, Garoppolo throwing to Sanders as if it was Montana to Rice. And what I saw against the Arizona Cardinals, that rapport seemed like they had been together for years. And again, the whole compliment in this all is Kyle Shanahan's system is so smart and ahead of the curve, Steiny. You don't need tier ones for it to be successful. And that's why I believe, and I know he had the same offense,
right,
similar offense in Denver. They made beautiful music last week on third down where Garoppolo was 12 of 14. And a lot of those went to Emmanuel Sanders. It was his first week on the job.
Yeah, it's amazing how quickly they've built that rapport. Even though he knew the same language, it's still like, wow, him and Garoppolo are on the same page making sweet music, as you just said, Guru, 10 days into his tenure with the 49ers. And to that point with Shanahan and his system, it has me thinking that maybe they can overcome the loss of George Kittle because Shanahan and his system is so good, and he could plug and play guys. We've seen him plug and play Dwelly at fullback at Tyler Juszczyk. He plugged and play School and Brunskill. He's plugged and play all these receivers.
And it's worked.
So maybe he can plug and play some guys to replace George Kittle, and Sanders helps out a lot with that. That was a big-time move by John Lynch, Steiny.
Yeah, I'm giving the credit to Sanders more than Kyle Shanahan.
And I hope I don't sound like I'm not.
No, you're all over Kyle Shanahan.
He loves
now.
Shanahan.
And if they lose 27-9, he's back on the hot seat in your mind, probably.
No, not at all.
What would it have to do? Two losses in a row?
No, three. Maybe three. Yeah. And then, we start to say, hey, Kyle, not you're bad at your job. You're missing Kittle. You're missing Quan Alexander. And I hope that's not the case. But this dude, Steiny, I'm telling you, I not only do I watch the players, I watch the play calls and the schemes. Kyle Shanahan is special.
You love Shanahan, huh?
I don't know what's coming. But if I watch the Chargers and
Dallas,
Raider or what other team, Dallas, I know what's coming. You know, Steiny?
The guy I love is Emmanuel Sanders. Just so professional, so solid. And you know what? I'm not convinced he's not a number one. Mm. I mean, I get it. He's not a top five receiver, but he is a number one on this team. And between him and Kittle, I don't think I mean, I think if you have Kittle, and I get it, Kittle's not going to play tonight, but if you have Kittle and Sanders, I think you can still win with the rest of that stable of wide receivers, even though none of them have yet really established themselves. But I think those two guys, Kittle and Sanders, are legit. I mean, Kittle may be the best tight end in the game. Certainly, he's a top five, and I think Sanders is really good too.
I'm going to say this. And Peyton Manning, from what I know, he doesn't just put hyperbole out there. He meant that about Emmanuel Sanders and his route running. I don't care what system he was in or it was good. Close. He's polished.
Yeah, that looks like Mike McGlinchey will play, fellas, to help protect Jimmy Garoppolo to get those passes to Emmanuel Sanders tonight. Apparently, Mike McGlinchey just posted on Instagram a picture of himself in his uniform, and we saw Trent Brown do that last Thursday night for the Raiders, and he played in that game against the Chargers. So it looks like Mike McGlinchey will be in a lineup tonight for the 49ers, and that helps.
All right, let's touch base with a couple of those players. So McGlinchey is expected to play. Joe Staley also expected to play. So both those guys are going to return after absences, along with fullback Kyle Juszczyk. He's expected back. Kittle, not expected to play tonight. And where are we with Akella Witherspoon? He's kind of in no man's land right now.
50-50.
Little game time decision.
TBD.
Is what we're talking about with Witherspoon. And it might not be a bad night for him to come back. After you see those three receivers for the Seattle Seahawks. By the way,
boys,
Seahawks,
man,
unbeaten on the road this season. They play better on the road than at home, some people
That's
believe.
Shocking to me. That's shocking.
How does that happen?
I don't know. They've lost to the Saints, lost to the Ravens, and we got Seahawk fans. Look at that old-school Seahawk jersey right there. They are good because Russell Wilson, he is a calm, cool, and collected player at the quarterback position, and he makes money throws. It's almost like in this phase of his career, it's like he wants to challenge a plan on the road because Seattle was so mediocre on the road before.
Mediocre.
And then now you look at him, he's just making dives all over the place, man.
All right. The 49ers had a great day yesterday, even though they didn't play. The Packers, they ended up getting by the Panthers, but the Saints lose to the Falcons. The Dallas Cowboys lose. The L.A. Rams lose. So you want to talk about a stranglehold. The 49ers can get a stranglehold on not just the NFC West, but the entire NFC with a win. We are at the Hilton Santa Clara, and we are, what, about four and a half hours from kickoff tonight. Kickoff is at 5:15.
Damon Bruce.
We will be here till 2 o'clock, and then we're going to turn it over to the boys, Damon Bruce, Ray Ratto, and Matt Kolsky. They will take it from there. Stop down and see us at the Hilton Santa Clara. Action is starting to
pick up a little bit.
My boy Will in the house.
Oh, Frank, 49er Frankie. You need to check this guy.
Business,
check your boy, man.
Business starting to pick up. Although your boy 49er Frankie looks like he's got fruit juice.
Yeah,
it is 12:50.
No, golly,
coconut water. Oh
boy,
man,
fruit juice.
What the hell is going on here? Not helping the Niner fan reputation of being soft. Oh, man, I hear you. It's a long day.
Yeah, so if you're coming down to the game tonight and you got some time to kill, come by, say hello at the Hilton Santa Clara. They're treating us so well. They always do. Drink and food all over the place. It's going to be fun leading up to this ball game tonight.
You gave me a look a few minutes ago, and working with you for over 2 years, I know that look. And I mentioned Kyle Shanahan and the infatuation I have with him. You're astute. You've been watching sports. Would you give me this and tell me I'm correct, that coaching means more in the NFL than Major League Baseball and the NBA? Because you mentioned the teams that lost and won yesterday, but I text Bonte who lost in the coaching realm. Mm. And that's why this Niner team, they're doing it. The players are doing it, but I'm watching what's being called, when and how it's being called. And that's why Kyle Shanahan, Steiny.
Okay. The way I would say is so McVay was a great coach. Now he's a bad coach.
No, I'll never say McVay is bad, but I'm watching mistakes, Donnie. So I can't say, okay, you made a few. You're
did
bad.
Kyle, how were Kyle Shanahan last year? Did he make mistakes?
I'm gonna say this.
Years?
I revisited that. he was making filet mignon out of hamburger meat because they were
10-22.
Yeah, but they were losing games by 3 and 5. And I used to wonder, why can't they close the games? But he didn't have the horses. But it was to his credit now that I come back and revisit that and say they were close with Hoyer back there. Steiny, that's what I'm saying. I don't want you to think
they were 10-22 his first 2 years.
You know, how's that looking? What, 19?
What I'm saying is he's the same coach that he was. He's got better personnel. They're running his stuff better. Maybe he can put in more because it's a smarter team.
How about this? He was winning games with Nick Mullins and C.J. Beathard at quarterback. That's got to go a long way. How many coaches can do that? To be in those tight games with basically, you're coming back from Chip Kelly. That was an expansion team. That was like plug and play here. Let's sign Pierre Garçon. Let's sign this guy, just to have a roster, a capable NFL roster. What Shanahan has done, he's made magic. He has made magic happen. And now that he has the talent in that locker room, you can see what he's capable of. But to Guru's point, I'm with him here. The schedules, I mean, the coaching around the league, McVay doing what he's doing yesterday.
Oh, man.
Belichick, one of the best. But Sean Payton kind of tripping yesterday in New Orleans. What was he calling yesterday? You got Kamara and Latavius Murray. What's going on? Jason Garrett should have been fired 4 years ago. Coaching does matter in the NFL probably more so than any other sport in pro sports.
I'm reading right here. Akella Weatherspoon told Jennifer Lee Chan of NBC Sports that he is 100% healthy. That's what Weatherspoon told NBC Sports. And as Bonte alluded to, starting right tackle Mike McGlinchey indicated on Instagram, that's the place to go for breaking news these days, that he is playing tonight. He captioned a photo of himself from a game, and the caption read, "Back at it, #MNF, and that, of course, is Monday Night Football. And we have a big one tonight at Santa Clara, the 49ers against the Seahawks, Jimmy G against Russell Wilson. And I'm just really looking forward to it because for the first eight games, let's face it, the schedule wasn't the most difficult in the NFL. Doesn't mean the 49ers shouldn't get credit for being 8-0. They absolutely should. But things are going to change in terms of their competition, and it changes tonight. So it's going to be very interesting to see how the 49ers play against what we believe is going to be the best team they've played this year.
Yeah, and an MVP candidate. We talked about the Niners up until this Monday having faced the top 15 quarterback in the league. That box will be checked. And Russell Wilson, what can the naysayers and the Jackals say if the Niners go out there and handle business, keep Russell at bay? Oh, the 9-0 is real.
And then I just want somebody to just keep Pete Carroll from prancing up and down that sideline with that gum in his mouth, chewing and hooting and hollering like a freaking fanboy. I need Pete Carroll to shut up. It's personal with this Niners team. It is personal because this organization basically took a Super Bowl away from you, and ended the best stretch under Jed York as the owner of the 49ers. They ruined it with the turkey on the 50. They kept you from going to the Super Bowl the one year in the NFC Championship. It's time to take back the West, man. This game is big. It's personal. And you better believe number 25, Richard Sherman, is taking it personal.
Oh, this
and
is
letting all those guys know on the way to the stadium, we need this one. This is bigger than just the standings. We need this to send a message to everybody in the damn NFL.
Guru, you're married, so you know about anniversaries, right?
Yep.
Kyle, you're married? No, not yet. You guys are going to learn about anniversaries soon.
We already have.
Yeah.
What do you mean?
We've been in long-term relationships.
That doesn't count.
I hear when you're married, the anniversaries
get softer. Put a ring on it, and then it starts.
I hear when you're married that the anniversaries don't even matter. No, people forget about the anniversaries.
That's a myth they tell single men. Let me tell you, because they matter. Anyway, speaking of anniversaries, it's been 10 years since an interesting anniversary, and I'm going to bring that up next. Fascinating. You want to talk about time flying? 10 years ago today, something very, very interesting happened. That'll be brought to you by Fremont Bank. Full service banking, no compromise.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly!